You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
At 3:04, we welcome you into the gym class here at KGYM for this beautiful, warm, windy Friday. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Buttons on the other side of the glass once again here today. Good show coming up for you as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Ben Visser covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette will be joining us. Iowa State will be looking to go to 3-0 in the Big 12. As they host the Texas Tech Red Raiders tomorrow at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. We'll have it for you beginning at 12:30 with the pregame show on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. And the kickoff scheduled for about 2:37 or so from Ames. So we'll talk with Ben Visser about that. High school football, the final night of the regular season comes up tonight. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look ahead to the college and the NFL weekend. If you will, we will do that coming up on the program today as well. As always, you are welcome to interact with us at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is our phone line as well. Those same digits again at 319-366-1600. And happy Friday to you.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. A lot to chew on today as we advance towards the weekend. You mentioned high school football. We've got a PGA tournament going on right now. We've got game 5 of a baseball series tonight, which should be a dandy, and much more. So thanks for coming along with us.
Yep, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. And boy, this has been a common theme, and unfortunately a common theme over the last couple of months anyway in the world of Major League Baseball. Another legend lost today, and coming on the night of the Yankees and the Rays playing game 5, they're deciding game 5 of the American League Divisional Series tonight, but the Yankees and baseball announcing earlier today the unfortunate death of Hall of Famer Whitey Ford for the Yankees, who passed away earlier on today. And gosh, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Tom Seaver, now Whitey Ford passing away at the age of 91 today.
Yeah, he's a big gamer, that's for sure. Pitched, I think, on 6 World Series championship teams. I'm going on a recollection there. But, yeah, he's a big gamer, not a big left-hander, but he was very effective on some really good teams. Let's also throw that in there. But those Yankee teams were terrific, and he was one of the reasons.
5'10", 181 pounds.
Yeah. I don't think Koufax is really big either.
No. You don't have to be, but, yeah, he definitely will be missed. You talk about a big-game pitcher, and he was a big-game pitcher, the big-game pitcher for the Yankees back in the 50s. In the 60s, he was the winningest pitcher, still is the winningest pitcher as far as New York Yankee history is concerned. And he also missed 2 years due to service in the military. He was in the Army for a couple of years, 1951 and 1952, according to this article. So big sky point to Whitey Ford.
Yeah.
As you can put together an all-star team.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Of guys that we have lost, Hall of Famers and very good players, the like, as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. There is a game tonight, as we mentioned. It'll be game number 5 between the Yankees and the Rays, the only remaining divisional series in play. The other 3 have been decided. A American League Championship Series is going to get started on Sunday night. Also coming up tonight, and you can catch this on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. It could be the final NBA game of the elongated year and season as the Lakers look for another world championship tonight as they take on the Miami Heat. And we'll have that for you at 7:30 tonight with the pregame on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM just past 8 o'clock with the tip-off for that game. And then high school football in the FM's coming up tonight.
Yeah, it kind of struck me when you said last week of the regular season. It's gone very fast, as it usually does, but of course it's seven games,
yep,
a maximum this year, and every team will advance to a playoff game next week. So it has gone fast, and it always does.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, it's of course, we had all the explanation yesterday. Tomorrow at 12 noon, in case you missed it, tomorrow at 12 noon will be the release as far as the pods are concerned. There will only be four games in 4A next Friday night. All of the regulations and whatnot, you must. There will be no movement of games. Games will be played on Friday nights. They will not be played on Saturdays and whatnot. So I went through that yesterday, but there'll be 2 week pods, and then they'll start over again each time, and away you go. You got to win your pod to advance.
Yes, indeed. In regards to Whitey Ford, 6717 on our text line. That number is 319-366-1600. Cedar Rapids Baseball Hall of Famer, Negro League Baseball All-Star, Art Superman Pennington, hit home runs off Whitey Ford while they both played baseball in Mexico in the 1950s.
Art hit a lot of home runs.
Did you ever have an opportunity to meet Art?
Yes, I did.
He's a super guy.
Yeah.
And very interesting guy. And, of course, Horace Garner also lived just up the street from this studio and put in so much time at the ballpark, played with Hank Aaron, and just used to love and talking to those guys.
Yeah. You could talk to them for hours, hours upon end.
Never saw Art without his hat on, though.
I didn't either, I come to think of
it. Yeah, he always had a nice, sharp hat on.
He was a sharp-dressed guy.
Yes, he was.
And 311 here on the program. Yeah, Art hit a lot of home runs against a lot of guys, including Whitey Ford. So, yes, very much so. 319-366-1600. Keep those texts coming in if you'd like. And as we mentioned, one baseball series left. The winner of tonight's game will meet up with the Houston Astros. Yeah, those Houston Astros. And that will get underway on Sunday evening. We will have game one or game six of the finals coming up on Sunday, whichever one. If the finals end tonight in the NBA, we will have baseball on Sunday night. I mean, believe they're playing. They've TBA'd the start time for all of the divisional series. Why wouldn't they? It's only 48 hours ahead of time. But I got to think it's going to be played at night, you would think. They usually are, and they're not going to go head-to-head against baseball, and they're not going to play a day game after a night game as well. Anyway, they're not going to play a day game on Sunday. It's going to be a night game. So divisional series will get underway. Championship series, I should say, will get underway next week. We'll have as many of those as we can bring you right here on KGYM. Westwood One also has announced that they are going to air Buttons Tuesday night's rescheduled NFL game at 6 o'clock. So we'll throw that on the FMs coming up on Tuesday night. I think that's Tennessee and Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken, because we've had a lot of movement as far as the National Football League is concerned, and could be more movement coming up. I believe there's one New York Jet that has tested positive that I read today. Nothing, no positives from the Kansas City Chiefs camp. So the Chiefs-Raiders game, as of right now, is still scheduled to be played on Sunday. But you're seeing more and more written about two things. Number one, the fact that we could see a pause in the National Football League or an 18th week come up to possibly move some things around. And that deals right into the second part of that. And like I, when this first happened last week and the NFL laid their cards on the table and said, okay, here's how we're going to do this. When you start moving games around and then you have to move more games around and then you have to move more games around on top of the games that have been moved around, it just doesn't work as far as football is concerned, because you need some time off between games, and you fall down a rabbit hole really quickly.
Yeah, it could get unwieldy if there's more episodes out there in the National Football League. And I know most, if not all, the teams are taking every and all precaution against the coronavirus. So, yeah, it's already been a little bulky, so to speak, the schedule that is. But hopefully we won't see any more issues.
Hope not. Hope not, but I think that's probably pie in the sky thinking, wouldn't you say right now?
Yeah, it's a virus, right? It travels, and it's contagious.
And people are going to catch it.
That's what viruses do.
Yeah. 319-366-1600, if you'd like to weigh in. Zach Johnson on the golf course right now in the fabulous Las Vegas desert.
85-degree weather at TPC Summerlin. I think that's the name of the course. Shriners Hospitals for Children open. Zach just getting underway in his second round after shooting a 6-under par 65 yesterday. Playing the back nine first, has birdied the 10th. So he has moved to 7-under par again as he's just getting his round underway. The lead being held right now by two golfers who have completed their second round. Martin Laird and Patrick Cantlay, both at 14-under par, and they are two clear of any other golfer. So we'll bring you up to date before the end of the program as to Zach's progress.
Yeah, we will do that. And just as you mentioned, very good end of the round yesterday for Zach, and that's good to see. Need that for him. State golf going on as well at the Des Moines Golf and Country Club, the North Course. At the Des Moines Golf and Country Club, and the Des Moines Country Club is winning for the most part right now, as you can imagine. But there are some good scores out there, including defending medalist Dylan Burr of Linmar. He is through his first nine at even par. As of right now, he is tied for the individual lead with Will Kramer of Waukee. They are both at even par right now, and I don't even have to look at the team overall standings right now to tell you Waukee is in front because they got even, plus one, plus three, and plus three right now.
A Division I basketball recruit is participating. Is that right?
Peyton Sanford, the future Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And a pretty darn good stick. He shot, one over in the qualifying meet on Monday. Right now he sits at plus three, so doing very well for his Waukee Warriors. And they also got another basketball guy on the team as well, Denebeer, who's a sophomore. And basketball players are pretty good golfers down at Waukee, apparently. They're all pretty good golfers.
Yes,
at Waukee. But anyway, they're leading things right now. Charles Allen of Xavier is at plus two after his first nine holes. We mentioned Dylan Burr tied for the lead, and we'll keep you updated on that as well. But that is I've never had the chance to play the Des Moines Golf and Country Club, but I read all the time and talk to people that said it's a very, very challenging track.
Tough track, you bet.
Either one. Doesn't matter if it's the North Course or the South Course. Very challenging. Of course, they've had a Solheim Cup there and a United States Senior Open there as well, men's Senior Open.
That tells you everything you need to know, right?
Pretty much.
Three Metro teams involved, those being Linmar, Prairie, and
Xavier.
And Kennedy has an individual playing as well. So good luck to those folks. They got a great day to play. Not going to be as nice tomorrow, at least temperature-wise. But
still going to be
still pretty good.
Usually this meet is played, it's been played in snow before. It's been postponed due to snow before and rain. And, guys out there on the golf course looking like they are in the grandstands watching high school football on a Friday night. But they will take this.
Yeah, it's 82 now, and I take it back. It's supposed to be 75 and sunny tomorrow, so it's pretty darn good for October.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. That is the text line here at 318. Ben Visser is going to join us coming up. What time? 3:30. Gotcha. Thank you, Buttons. 3:30 here in just a little bit, and we'll talk Iowa State and Texas Tech. 3390 asks from the 651 area code, how does C.J. Beathard feel about Kittle's love affair with Jimmy G? Well, Jimmy G is the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. So I can't imagine that.
Is he going to start this week? I haven't seen that. I don't know that a starter has been named.
Right. The official word last I had heard has not been put out as of yet. But you never know how it plays out. If the 49ers can throw Garoppolo out there, they're going to throw Garoppolo out there. That's just kind of the way it should be and the way it goes. So, yeah, we'll see as far as that is concerned. About your Bears last night, Mark.
Yes, sir.
How in the world did they win that football game? I'm sorry. They made some plays when they needed to make some plays. The defense came up big right ahead of halftime, gave the Bears a short field. And after that, it was kind of a back-and-forth deal, and Tom Brady made a gaffe, and the Bears come away with a victory.
Oh, we don't get another down?
Only if you're Colorado. By the way, anniversary of the fifth down game was earlier this week. The 30th anniversary between Colorado and Missouri when they were both in the Big 8. Big 8? Big 12? One of them. Anyway, they were in the same conference back then. The infamous fifth down game from Faurot Field in Columbia.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend that the Bears are a good football team. They've beaten
They're a good football team.
Detroit, the Giants, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay probably the best among those four. And three of those victories were by 4 points. And last night, of course, was by 1 point. So the Bears operating on a fine line here in terms of winning football games. And so far, they've done that. Next up is trips to Carolina and the L.A. Rams for the Bears. But, yeah, it was a kind of a strange game. Brady, after throwing 5 touchdown passes last week, threw 1 for Tampa's only touchdown. And the Bears were very opportunistic on defense in that last series and various points in the game. So are the Bears even an above average team? I think so, but they're not an elite team by any means.
I would agree with you. I think the Bears are a good team. That defense is terrific, and they help out the offense, and that's what Nick Foles needs at this particular time. Bears fans, what do you think? 319-366-1600 out there. As far as we got to watch Tristan Wirfs go up against one of the best defenders in all of the National Football League, or pass rushers, defensive players, what have you, and Khalil Mack last night. And, you know, for the most part, Tristan, I think, held his own against one of the best out there. There were a few occasions where Mack got the best of a rookie. That's going to happen. You know, he's still a rookie. That's his fifth game in the National Football League. And like I said, for the most part, I think he did a pretty good job. There were times he got beat, and that's going to happen to anybody out there on the edge against Khalil Mack.
Yeah, Mack has done that to all kinds of players, whether they be rookies or veterans. But I've watched, I think, maybe 3 of Tampa's games. And in each one, I thought Wirfs acquitted himself very well, and I know he's being graded highly by Pro Football Focus among right tackles and offensive linemen. One source, I don't remember who it was, has him on the all-rookie team right now.
Right.
And I think he's done very, very well for this early in his career, but he did get handled a couple times by Mack.
As anybody would. Yeah, one time I kind of did a wrestling throw.
Yeah.
On Tristan. Another time he got by him, but hit Brady late. And, well, late-ish. Not 70s or 80s late, but 2020 late. And got the 15-yard flag on that. And then Mack, the next time, thought he did it again. And he's, ooh, what?
Yeah.
I did not. Don't flag me for that. And they didn't. And it was kind of interesting to watch. But, yeah. Hey. got to give credit where credit is due, and the Bears came away with the victory last night at home to stay within earshot of the division leading Green Bay Packers.
Well, we'll see how long that lasts. I think Green Bay has Tampa next on its schedule.
The Bay of Pigs.
I could be wrong about that, but that's at least coming up soon. That'll be a very good game. So how long the Bears can hang, I'm going to have to put some better offense together because, once again, the Bears were not able to run the football against another good defense. First the Colts and last night against Tampa Bay, I think only about 30 or 40 yards rushing. So going to have to clean that up in order to get better, I think.
And David Montgomery's getting punished, too.
Mm.
Trying to get extra yards, and, you know, I understand where he's coming from. And the second effort, and that was his MO in college at Iowa State as well, yards after contact, and he's trying to do it in the NFL. But, man, he's getting hit hard and got hit hard again last night. By the way, it was the battle of the former Chief kickers last night.
Yeah.
Ryan Succop and Cairo Santos.
Cairo Santos, yeah.
Yeah, so... That's a
Santos made me nervous every time he lined up.
He still makes me nervous. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in at 325 about the Bears, we'll talk about, we'll get into the NFL a little bit. We'll talk some college football coming your way after we talk to Ben Visser here in just a little bit. But yeah, the college football schedule highlighted by the big one on Saturday night between Miami and Clemson, which the first real biggie. Well, I can't say that. Georgia-Auburn last week was a top 10 matchup. Second real biggie. Mm-hmm. That one really didn't come through. Georgia really took it to Auburn last Saturday night, but we'll see. We'll see about Trevor Lawrence and Clemson going up against the U, who wants to be back to U standards, if you will, with maybe a little less swagger than the boys had back in the day.
No, there might be some swagger Saturday night. You never know. Miami, we'll see if the U is back against obviously an excellent Clemson football team. We've got Oklahoma and Texas, which doesn't seem as big
it is.
As past years, but nevertheless a big-time rivalry in the Big 12, so.
Boy, and Iowa State fans are rooting for OU tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because with the win, Iowa State would be two games up on Texas and two and a half up on Oklahoma at this point. So a lot of eyes of Cyclone fans, I think, are going to be on the Cotton Bowl tomorrow as Oklahoma and Texas go at it. Don't say Red River Shootout, by the way.
No.
Cannot do that. That's not what they're calling it these days. Red River Rivalry. Red River Rivalry. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Ben Visser of the Gazette will join us. We'll talk Iowa State and Texas Tech. Some college football talk coming your way next, right here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Time to refresh your space? Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help with impeccable, well-born cabinetry. The Alexander design team respects and can work with any budget. And in addition to stunning kitchens, they also create home offices, mudrooms, laundry rooms, bathrooms, even living rooms with built-ins. Design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Oh, look at this. The bar on Main Street is looking for a new bartender.
What are you doing?
Looking for a job.
Honey, just enjoy your retirement.
You know, I'd love to, but have you seen what Joni Ernst has been up to?
What do you mean?
Ernst voted to cut Medicare by almost $500 billion.
Wow.
Yeah, and Ernst supported a plan that would force us to pay $6,000 more a year out of our pockets for health care.
$6,000 more a year? For each of us?
Yep. The Wall Street Journal said the plan would, quote, essentially end Medicare.
But we've been paying into Medicare for years.
It's completely unfair. Plus, Ernst also voted to let insurance companies charge an age tax on us.
So even more money out of our pockets. You think the bar would hire me, too?
I think we might be better off voting against Joni Ernst.
Paid for by DSCC, DSCC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. DSCC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
As a property owner, you think you should be able to do it all. But even you could use some help. That's what EPM Iowa Property Management does. At EPM, every property matters, whether you own a large apartment complex or a one-bedroom house rental. EPM Iowa keeps your tenants happy and maintains your properties so you get the investment returns you're hoping for, plus more time to spend with family, find other investments, or just get a peaceful night's sleep. Let EPM Iowa manage your rental property. Get to know them at epmiowa.com.
You work hard and you deserve to get the most for your money, like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care. Like having multiple plans so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark, Blue Cross, and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Rommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums, and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere, even from your favorite hiking trail. With Capital One's app, you can check your balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money from wherever you are anytime you want, even when you're cooking dinner. Open a fee-free checking or savings account online in about 5 minutes. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Consumer accounts only. Approval required. Terms apply. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
College football, it's the game you wake up early on Saturdays for. Even though kickoff isn't until 7, the game where the Goodyear blimp becomes a Hall of Famer. The game that goes just beyond school, spirit, fandom, or love of the sport. It's the game where the comebacks happen. It's the game where anything can and will happen, as long as you have the drive. Because college football is the game that moves you. We get it because it moves us too. Goodyear, more driven.
Back in the gym class at 3:31 for a Friday here on KGYM. Coming up tonight, we've got for you at around 7 o'clock, 107.5 FM. It'll be high school football. Prairie hosting Washington, number 9 Prairie and the Washington Warriors. 106.3 FM coming up tonight. It will be the third meeting between these two teams. It is the first trophy game, though. I believe they're calling it the Battle for Zeus. I have no idea where Zeus comes in between Iowa City Liberty and Iowa City High, but that is what they are calling it, the trophy.
Interesting.
And the winner will get said trophy. So that will be coming up tonight, and that will be on 106.3 FM, and that will be at 7 o'clock as well coming up this evening. Coming up tomorrow, or also I should say, we've got game 5 between the Lakers and the Heat tonight. Lakers can win that particular series and win another NBA championship. 7:30 on 1600 and 102.3 FM.
That's our poll question of the day at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew. Will the Heat stave off elimination in the NBA Finals tonight? Yes or no?
Yep. Go ahead and vote at KGYMRadio.com. And we are going to talk Iowa State and Texas Tech right now as we welcome in Ben Visser, who covers the Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter at BenVisser43. That is his handle on the Twitter scene anyway. And what beautiful weather it looks like for tomorrow, Ben. That's first thing off the checklist, right?
Yeah, amen to that. The last few years, it's been rainy and all sorts of bad weather. So having a game 80 degrees and all sun, I'm all for it.
Indeed, indeed. And, well, before we talk about Texas Tech, got to go back to last Saturday night, Iowa State and Oklahoma. And Cyclones coming away with a 7-point victory and really really solidifying, at least early on, and there's a long way to go, obviously. But through 2 weeks, boy, Iowa State solidifying itself as a contender as far as the Big 12 is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people, and probably fairly, I think people wrote off Iowa State a little bit after that Louisiana game. They did not look good at all. So I think that was more than fair to be like, all right, is this team actually for real? And then you go on the road and beat TCU, I think it's a good TCU team. I mean, it's early in the season, so we'll see what the end of the season says. But on paper, they have a good team. Obviously, Max Duggan is, I think Iowa State got really lucky with him only playing one half. I mean, he's in the three halves he's played this year, he's looked absolutely incredible. So Iowa State caught a break there with only having to play Max Duggan for one half. And then you host Oklahoma, the perennial power in the Big 12, and you're able to beat them. So Iowa State is right now in the driver's seat for the Big 12. So we'll see if they can keep this going.
Ben, in all my years of covering and watching football, I don't recall a tight end to a tight end pass. And it didn't involve Charlie Kolar, at least on either end. He was on the field then, but that was something, huh?
That was wild. You are not alone in not seeing that. I don't think anyone has ever seen that before. So it definitely caught Oklahoma off guard, because how do you prepare for something that's never happened before? So, Dylan Sainer was a high school quarterback, and that's actually a scary thought in and of mm-hmm. itself. He's 6'7" and 270 pounds, so I feel bad for the teams that had to play against him. But, throws it to Chase Allen, so senior to senior tight end, and Charlie Kolar stays in the block for Dylan Sainer, swings out and blocks for him. So, no, that was a wild play. That was fun to watch, though.
It was fun to watch. And that play, as well as the big kickoff return after Oklahoma mm-hmm. touchdown, I still think that was the play of the game a week later.
Absolutely. And Matt Campbell 100% agrees with you there. He said immediately after the game that Kenny Nwangu, the kick returner, he flipped the whole game on its head. I mean, you could kind of feel Oklahoma get momentum there. I think that kick return came after, if I remember correctly, Brock Purdy turned the ball over. Oklahoma got an easy touchdown. It seemed like momentum was strongly in Oklahoma's favor. And then Kenny Nwangu's speed just busts the whole game wide open. Iowa State scores in 38 seconds on that drive. And really the whole game changes from that play. I think you're absolutely right about that.
Well, there's always the issue and thought of a letdown after a big victory like the one against Oklahoma. But Campbell has had Iowa State teams in this position before, so I'm sure he's pulling out all the stops to avoid a letdown this Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked to Charlie Kolar on Tuesday, I believe it was, and he had an incredible quote, because if you pay any attention to Campbell, he repeats his message a lot. And Kolar said, the great thing about Campbell is if he misses his message on week one, he's going to repeat the next 11 weeks too. So he's going to say what he says, and whether it's a win or a loss, he's going to keep that same message of improvement, the process, and all that fun stuff that he loves to hammer home. And I looked it up after Kolar said that, and Iowa State is 5-1 after beating a ranked opponent. So they haven't had any letdown. And the one loss that they did have was in 2017. So that was, 3 years ago now. So Iowa State is good coming off a ranked win. And so I wouldn't expect a letdown, but, this is college football in the year of 2020, so anything can happen.
Yeah, it can. And I tell you what, I think Iowa State fans have to be, they're obviously encouraged, but I think even more encouraged in the fact that this offense, even though they put 37 up against Oklahoma, I don't think it's really churning all cylinders as of yet. We've still not seen a great Brock Purdy game so far this year. Kind of pedestrian numbers up to this point anyway. But the rushing game starting to go with Breece Hall has really, really helped things out. And if Brock can get going to the level he was a year ago, then, boy, the offense is really going to start clicking.
You're absolutely right about that. Iowa State's not clicking on all cylinders, and I think that has to be a little bit scary for other Big 12 teams, because like you said, Breece Hall has gotten off to an excellent start. The offensive line has looked good. It's really, and I think what it is with Brock, I'm not sure, I saw a Pro Football Focus article yesterday or 2 days ago that said, is Brock Purdy regressing? And it's like, well, I mean, his numbers are, yes, but I think a lot of that has to do with new receivers. He doesn't have the Hakeem Butler, the Alan Lazard, or even the Deshante Jones from last year, where he has a familiar target. He pretty much has all new receivers. Even Tariq Milton, the one returning receiver, he missed the TCU game with an injury. And then the Oklahoma game, he tried playing. He had one catch, but he didn't play much in the second half at all. So the one receiver he was quite familiar with hasn't been playing a whole lot. So he's had to build a whole lot of chemistry with some new faces. And Xavier Hutchinson, who caught his first touchdown pass against Oklahoma on that play action, which was a beautifully designed play. And then, I mean, Sean Shaw was around a little bit, and he's still getting that chemistry built up with Purdy. Landon Akers has been so pretty reliable for Purdy. So I think a lot of it has to do with Purdy getting comfortable with his new receivers. Obviously, he has the tight ends as a safety blanket, and that's helped him out tremendously. But I think once he gets clicking with his receivers a little bit, I think that's when you're going to see Brock Purdy getting back to the outstanding games that Iowa State fans have become accustomed to.
Texas Tech struggling, Ben, but probably should have beat Texas in that overtime loss, but did not. Come in winless in the Big 12, and you got to wonder, is this a team that's going to continue in that direction or bounce back? It has really struggled on defense, and I know there's some question marks at quarterback as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Their starting quarterback, Alan Bowman, who's dealt with every injury imaginable. I mean, his true freshman year, he got a partially collapsed lung, so he missed some games there. His first sophomore season, he injured his shoulder, so he had to take a redshirt then. So now he's a redshirt sophomore. He takes a low hit to the knee, and now he's day-to-day with a knee injury. I would expect him not to play, but we'll see what happens. So then you got Henry Collinby coming in, who is Utah State transfer. He transferred in with Matt Wells, who's Texas Tech's head coach. And he looked good, actually, in his relief of Alan Bowman. I think he threw for over 240 yards. He completed 70% of his passes. So he looked good. He wasn't able to get the win against Kansas State. But I think Texas Tech is probably going to be okay at quarterback. We'll see. Maybe that was just beginner's luck, and Kansas State wasn't quite ready. They didn't know what to prepare for with Henry Collinby. Iowa State has film on him now, so maybe, I don't know, maybe they saw some things with him. So we'll see what Iowa State can do to game plan against him. He's more of a dual-threat quarterback than Alan Bowman is. You hit on it. Texas Tech defense is not good. 74 teams have played college football this year. Their defense, in terms of total yards, ranks 70th. So they're not the worst team, but they're right there. And then in the Big 12, they're giving up 42 points a game, and that's second worst only to Kansas. So they have pieces. They have really good pieces. I like both their running backs, the Jodrick Thompson and Xavier White. And then they got some good receivers and TJ Vasher and stuff. But they got too many missing pieces around those good offensive weapons to really, I think, contend in the Big 12 for another year, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'm not sold on Texas Tech as of this moment. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's probably one reason that Texas Tech defense, the over and under in Vegas is 64.5 points. So the odds makers are expecting a high scoring game, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a little bit interesting to me. I don't know, 64.5, I don't think it goes that high for a couple reasons. Iowa State currently has the fourth slowest offense in the nation. They've only run 60.5 plays per game, which is fourth fewest. So because of the steadiness of Breece Hall, they've been able to just grind out games a little bit, which is weird and new for the Big 12. And then the defense, Iowa State's defense has played well. They're only, generally speaking, they've played well. The defense is only allowing, I think it's 3.2 yards per carry. The issue with Iowa State's defense is it's getting beat deep quite a bit in the secondary. I think they've given up 18 or 19 passing plays of 15-plus yards. So that's the one area of concern right now for Iowa State. But with a backup quarterback who kind of dinked and dunked quite a bit against Kansas State, I'm not sure it's as big a concern, the deep ball, but we'll see.
Ben, I'll ask you, a lot of the scribes around the country, the national folks who write and cover college football, have been kind of down on the Big 12 so far. saying that it's a down year for the conference and whatnot. I'm sure Oklahoma's 1-2 start is not helping out with that. And the latest installment is Texas back. Kind of went backwards last week a little bit. Is that accurate so far? Is it too many early returns yet to say that? What do you think about the Big 12 so far?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question. Is it down? I mean, it depends on how you evaluate the Big 12. If you evaluate it on Oklahoma and Texas, sure, yeah, it's down. But Gary Patterson, the TCU coach, made an excellent point that there are more teams in the Big 12 than Texas and Oklahoma. So, I mean, generally, yeah, it's probably down, but it is a little bit too early to tell for sure. But you're absolutely right. The fact that either Oklahoma's going to start 0-3 in the Big 12 or Texas and Oklahoma are both going to be 1-2 after this weekend, it definitely hurts the national perception because the two biggest national teams are not good, are not playing well right now, at least. So it might be a down year. And, hey, I mean, I think Iowa State fans would take that because that means Iowa State's probably going to do okay in it. So that's another thing that I saw a lot of people go on about on Twitter was, well, Iowa State beating Oklahoma is not actually good for the conference because now they might not, the Big 12 might not get in the College Football Playoffs. That's not Iowa State's concern. Iowa State's concern is winning football games. Same with Kansas State. The whole goal is to win the football game. If the Big 12 doesn't make it to the College Football Playoffs, I mean, it's not Iowa State or Kansas State's fault. It's Oklahoma's for not beating them. So you got to go out there and win a game. So the whole perception of, well, it's going to hurt their College Football Playoff chances, that bothers me a little bit because that's not Iowa State's goal, is not to help the Big 12 conference get into the College Football Playoffs unless it's Iowa State getting there. So, those are my feelings on that.
Well, and it's a situation. Well, first of all, there are going to be a lot of folks wearing Cardinal and gold rooting for Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl coming up tomorrow, because if Oklahoma wins, that puts Iowa State 2 up potentially on both Oklahoma and Texas at this point. And then Iowa State gets 2 weeks to get ready for a game down at Stillwater at Boone Pickens against unbeaten Oklahoma State, who right now is people are thinking is the kingpin of the Big 12.
Yeah, and I understand that Oklahoma State hype a little bit, but they haven't exactly beaten Murderers Row here in the Big 12. Their wins are against West Virginia, which will probably finish in the bottom half of the Big 12, and Kansas, which is going to finish last. So they've had by far had the weakest, but they've also looked the best. So have they looked the best because they played the worst competition, or have they looked the best because they are the best? I think that's the question with Oklahoma State right now within the Big 12. But, yeah, I mean, if Iowa State takes care of business on Saturday, tomorrow, like you said, 2 weeks to prepare for Oklahoma State is going to be huge. I mean, that could go a long way in helping Iowa State out a lot there. Oklahoma State looking ahead a little bit. You think of their offense because of Mike Gundy, and rightly so, but right now they have the best defense in the Big 12. So if they've gotten that defense turnaround, they might very well be the best team in the Big 12. We'll see.
Ben, are we still looking at 15,000 at Jack Trice? And I ask you, you've seen games there with and without fans, and there had to be a big difference last week.
Yeah, so far the plan, and by so far I mean we're a day out. So, yes, the plan is 15,000 once again. Jamie Pollard sent out an email to Iowa State fans earlier in the week commending them for their following of the policy of mask wearing and social distancing. So he was quite happy with the amount of masks worn and people taking the proper protocol and measures to make sure it's a safe environment. So, yeah, the plan is 15,000, and you are absolutely right. The difference in zero fans and 15,000 fans was enormous, believe it or not. I mean, against that Louisiana game, it was dead silent every time a big play happened, and that it just felt weird. At least against Oklahoma, I mean, I'll credit Iowa State fans this. They made it loud for 15,000, so they made big plays feel big. Like Kenny Nwangu's return, it felt like a big play. If that happened against Louisiana, it doesn't feel like much. I mean, sure, the sideline's happy, but you don't get that extra juice that you do with fans. So fans have made, honestly, at least for my viewing purposes, they've made a big difference. I think it made a big difference for Iowa State, too, because you get that little extra boost of energy when you hear all of the people yelling. I say all of them. There's only 15,000 of them, but you get the drift.
15,000 have been known to make a bit of noise at Hilton Coliseum, so it shouldn't be surprising.
Very true out there. And yeah, it should be a fun day tomorrow. And certainly Iowa State's not a two-touchdown favorite very often. But, hey, if Iowa State continues to take this program to new heights, they're going to have to work with this being a two-touchdown favorite against some of these teams. So another milestone, if you will, that Matt Campbell, another thing to the check off the box and move up the mountain, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Should be good, should be exciting, should be high scoring, and we'll see how it all plays out. But Ben, appreciate it. Keep up the great work at the Gazette, and thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Ben Visser covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at thegazette.com. Does a really good job with that. Iowa State, Texas Tech tomorrow, 12:30 with the pregame, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM, 2:37 with the kickoff. And you can catch that game tomorrow right here on KGYM. I want to put this out here as well because I know Tom Crichel and everybody at Iowa State, they put out some really good stuff. As far as media at Cyclones.com and other places, check out, it's the 100th anniversary of Iowa State Radio. Did you see that, Mark?
No, I didn't.
Check it out because it's a nice little piece they have put together on all of the voices of the Cyclones over the 100 years. And starting off with a Scottish gentleman, a Scottish student who covered and called the first game on radio for Iowa State. I did not know that. Did not know that. Of course, taking it through the Pete Taylor era and now into John Walters and Eric Heft. But some really interesting stuff right there. And they replay a Pete Taylor call from a football game that's just absolutely still sends chills down your spine because of how good and what a good guy Pete was.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that because that could be very interesting, and I'm sure it is. The couple of years I covered Iowa State, Pete Taylor was there and got to know Pete and died prematurely.
Yeah, we lost Pete way too early.
But he was really good. John Walters, really good. Again, I'll have to take a look at it.
Yeah, you just go out and find it. It's out there as far as the social media platforms are a concern. We'll take a break, come back, and take a look at the college football weekend when we return after this here on KGYM.
Hey guys, it's officially fall, and Vernon Village True Value has you covered.
Yeah, Jim, like a Master Mechanic tape measure for only $10.99. That's savings of $9.99. Or pick up a leaf rake, they're just $6.99 each.
You know it, Hal. And 1 gallon jugs of Rain-X windshield washer are 2 for $7 right now.
For your yard, house, and car, you know where to go this fall, right, audience?
Yeah!
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's time for Straight Talk, just like football. You want the best coverage with your wireless network without your wallet taking a hit? Straight Talk Wireless gives you the same nationwide coverage as the big carriers. America's best networks for up to 50% less. Just $45 a month for 25 gigs of high-speed data than 2G with an unlimited plan. No contract, no mystery fees. Don't get sidelined by weak protection. Get Straight Talk Wireless. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Geico presents Monster Counseling.
Dracula, tell me how you're feeling.
No one understands how lonely it is. No one will even let me into their house. I knock and I knock, but they ignore me.
Uh-huh. What else?
I look in the mirror and I don't even see myself anymore.
If you don't see yourself clearly, can you really expect others to?
I'm having a breakthrough.
It's not easy to be a vampire. But with GEICO, it's super easy to switch and save hundreds on your car insurance.
It's time for some straight talk. You know where the full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for up to 50% less than the big carriers. No contract, full coverage, 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
We saved big money with our Progressive Home and Auto Bundle and used the cash to take a family vacation.
To Hawaii.
Who's up for a luau?
Yay!
This is not a real testimonial. Sure, customers can save big money with Progressive, but not enough to go to Hawaii. They'll probably use it for things like the mortgage and groceries, or even a travel magazine, so at least they can see pictures of Hawaii.
Aloha!
Yes, say hello to those beautiful Hawaiian beaches in that magazine. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
3:54 here on the Gym Class, wrapping things up for a Friday here on KGYM. Buttons was watching the little piece put together by Iowa State about their play-by-play. Reminds us, lets us know, not only was it a student, a Scottish student, but the opponent for Iowa State in that first game on the radio, Mark?
I did not know.
The Coco Hawks. How about that, huh?
Yeah. Back in the day, Co got around, played Iowa, I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. They did. And, yeah, check it out. It's really, really good stuff. Also really good stuff this weekend. We have football coming your way tomorrow morning, and that will be at 10:30 on 107.5, 106.3 FM. Florida at Texas A&M, one of the biggies tomorrow. Mentioned Texas and Oklahoma will play Virginia Tech and North Carolina, top 20 matchup going off tomorrow in the ACC. Tennessee and Georgia with a little panache all of a sudden between the hedges. First real test for Pruitt and the Tennessee Volunteers coming up tomorrow. No one's going to be, even if with a loss, no one's going to be moving to a roof of a car dealership, no. I don't think, on this one. Hello, Tyler. And we'll see how it all plays out. And, of course, tomorrow night, Alabama, Mississippi will have that one for you. After the Iowa State game, we'll also have it on 107.5, 106.3 FM. That has been pushed back a little bit due to the hurricane. I think it's a 6 o'clock start. But the big one tomorrow night is Miami at Clemson, the national ABC game tomorrow night at 6:30. I am really looking forward to that one. Not so much Florida State at Notre Dame at night as well.
No, Notre Dame a 3-touchdown favorite in that game, I believe. And games are getting more interesting, and that's good. And not too long, we'll have Big Ten football. 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
2 weeks from tomorrow. And, yeah, remember when Florida State, Notre Dame was the game?
Mm-hmm.
They did 30 for 30s on Florida State, Notre Dame, and now Notre Dame's a 3-touchdown favorite against Florida State. My goodness. I want to remind you that the Gym is partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. You can check out more information on our website at kgymradio.com. We encourage you to do so. And have a great weekend, everybody. Buttons is going to sit in with you Monday and Tuesday. I'll be back on Wednesday of next week. And look forward to the return coming up on Wednesday. But have a good weekend. Should be a great weather one.
Yeah, you have a good respite as well. And we'll talk to Michael Loss on Monday and Cal Eldred on Tuesday. And, of course, talk about what happened on the weekend, including Iowa State and Texas Tech.
Yep, that'll be all coming up on the Monday edition of the Gym Class. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you tonight. Prairie and Wash out at Prairie at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM. Todd and Alex are next.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities.